Welcome to the Williams Neekin Why Be Hurtin' phone conference line.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Is Monty here?
Shortly. Shall be shortly.
Because I can't make it the time. I just wanted to give my report. And since he knows diabetes, I thought I'll wait till he gets on. Because I can't join every day. There's no way I can do it. Plus, it's getting dark.
I sleep when it's dark, then.
Yeah, I sleep when it's dark. I'm definitely sensitive to that.
Uh-huh.
Monty's here.
Okay, Monty, I'll just tell you very quickly. Joan's health report from the doctor. My blood pressure was 118 over 74, and it has been consistently under 120, which it hasn't been since I was doing Olympic trials. And my pulse is 60, which it hasn't been. I mean, my pulse has been for 15 years into the 90s, consistently, which is not right. I did gain 5 pounds, and my A1C went up a 0.3. So my A1C is 6.3, which is too high, which I don't think is the coconut oil, but I think it's the ice cream. I don't know what's happened to me, and it's so bad for you. It's so bad. It's so bad for me. Anyway, I hear at the end of the month about my triglycerides and my HDL. Now, the HDL is going to be the real teller, because I have not been able to get my HDL up. It doesn't matter what I eat or what I do. You know, exercise, does not raise my HDL. So if this coconut oil raises it, I'm just going to be, singing.
Well, great.
Anyway.
Thank you for that report.
Okay. Yeah. What day is it that we have our, confessions? Our true confessions.
Tuesday.
Okay.
I wanted to see. I sent you a note. I received it. If you would like to talk about enzymes next Wednesday, because I will be out of town, I will not be available.
Enzymes? Oh, you're so encouraging me. I don't know what I would say.
Just the description of kind of. What they do.
Yeah, enzymes 101.
101, right.
Oh, it's just whether I have the time to get something,
We don't want anything big and complicated, just like 5 points. Not any more than 10 points. But, probably 2 points you could go and describe or whatever with those, but, just a little bit and discuss is good. So I'll talk to you later. I am super swamped.
Okay, and that's on Wednesday. Well, possibly, okay, because I could explain what it means, toxins inhibit enzymes. And just to hear it over and over and over, just gets it into your brain.
And why we need enzymes. Okay, so we better not take up Monty's time.
Okay, yeah.
That's okay.
No.
The rest of the day. Well, good morning, everybody. I guess you're turning it over to me, are you, Ruth?
I am.
Okay.
And I had a picture I wanted to put up.
Oh, nice.
Good morning, everybody.
Hi.
Morning.
So good morning, everybody. And here's Monty, super guy from Olympia, Washington.
I don't know about the super guy, but I am from Olympia, Washington. Good morning, everybody. Here it is Friday again. It's the day that we kind of go back over some of the things we've discussed on during the week. And for those of you that missed the calls, also remember you can go to allswell.org and pull up any call that you'd like to re-listen to if you missed. I have to do that usually on Tuesdays because I have another priority that takes priority over this call, and it has to do with family. So we'll leave it at that. But other than that, things seem to have been going okay. Monday, of course, our host is always Mary Lou, and she does always a back-to-basics Monday. where she normally talks about the 10 points and how it's so important to journal and exercise and get our sleep and get our water and take our nutritionals and eat our proper foods that we eat, our alkaline and acidic foods, and how they're so important. And she also this week talked about lack of sleep contributes to obesity. And I thought that was pretty interesting in regards to our bodies do need rest, but if we don't get the proper rest that we can, there are consequences for that in many different ways. And she talked particularly about obesity, and she talked about how more than 7 hours of sleep was basically better for us than less. If we get 5.5, we can create some problems. And she also talked about how children who don't get a lot of sleep and everything are having a higher, they're finding a higher rate of obesity in those children, and two basic hormones that we need when we get good rest that are kind of affected by it, and it's leptin and ghrelin, and they're very, very important to our body. She talked about how to keep, that we need to keep our room as dark as possible and keep the lights out, any night lights or anything else like that, because they can be disturbing to sleep, and our body, even though our eyelids are closed or whatever, we still get that kind of light still filters in. She talked about sleep mask and how important that particular is, and if you had a particular problem, but that would be the way to block out everything, is utilizing that sleep mask along with the magnetics in it that are so beneficial to our bodies. On Tuesday, Ruth and Donna were on the call, and that was terrific and Transparent Tuesday. Donna particularly talked about, or maybe it was Ruth, I forget which one, about applying knowledge. That on this call, we do get a lot of knowledge and information, and so we need to take what you have learned and take advantage of it. And, you know, if it's something that you feel that you can work into your individual program, then do so. And remember, it's all about choice. So when we hear information on this call, it's, well, I kind of look at it and say, that's beneficial to me, and are there ways that I can utilize it and put it into my program for better health? Donna talked about product information she has learned on the call, on how she learned a lot of information on this particular call in regards to nutrition. She also learned about toxins, and she talked about toxins and MSG and how they really have affected her, and when she's been able to get rid of those two particular things, how much better she has felt. She also talked about how sometimes we hear about a lot of nutritional type things, and we kind of want to run out and maybe purchase them someplace else, and there's nothing wrong with that. Of course, if Neat Gain doesn't have it, but she also realized that a lot of the nutrients that Neat Gain does have, that they are already in our particular products. So that was something that I felt was very important. Wednesday was Ruth. She, on the host, she wanted us to challenge ourselves. Come up with a plan and stick to it. You know, whether that be eating or physical exercise or the business or whatever, that if we don't have a plan, how are we going to know where we're going to get to where we want to get? We don't lay that plan out. I know my sister just left for Arizona here a week or so ago, and the first thing she did was get a hold of AAA, and she got some maps, and AAA sent her some maps and her stops that she wanted to make on the way and how long it was going to take to get each particular place and everything else. So, you know, to me, that was a plan. She wasn't get sidetracked anyway. And the nice thing about that is she knew that she was going to be in certain towns at certain times and how many miles it was. Well, that's the same thing we need to do about health. If we want good and proper health, we need to have a plan. And, of course, we do have one here in this particular program. She talked also about how 90% of the cells in our body are bacteria, and that there are good bacteria and there's bad bacteria, and we need to use, and we can actually use bacteria to fight diseases, but also the bad bacteria can create diseases. So good bacteria acidifies the colon. We're learning that a lot of nutrition and stuff like that and problems basically come from the colon, and that's getting to I'm getting to understand that myself better as things move along. So we need to remove the toxic compounds. They help lower cholesterol, helps eliminate bowel and gas, and sweeten the breath. And I forget which one she was talking about there in that particular time, but I do find that so true, that a lot of times people that have bad breath, sometimes they want to relate it to their teeth, and sometimes that can be the problem, but we don't realize that in our gastrointestinal system that we have, that things sometimes just get real bad, and of course that's when they come out, they usually come out the mouth and other places. And so what we eat can determine our problem and our health. And I'm getting to find that's true. Lactoferrin, get rid of the bad guys, it helps the good guys. Boy, that's one of the first things I do when I get up in the morning, other than swishing, is I get a, take my lactoferrin, because I totally believe that lactoferrin is an answer to a lot of our problems, and has over the years has helped me in my particular situation. A Thursday, Nancy Gilmer from Texas came on. She talked about ways to exercise and interval training, and you know, that they're finding that sometimes people that get out and walk for extended periods of time, that really, you know, a 30-minute or a 40 to 60, she talked about, I think it was Dr. McCullough talked about how that 40 to 60 minutes a week, if I understood that right, was, and if we do interval training, in other words, that's kind of like what we'll call burst training, that sometimes that can be just as beneficial as going out and walking a half hour for 6 or 7 days a week. And Nancy, if you're on the call, if I said that to other people understood it, please feel free if I'm not correct in that. We know that exercise burns calories and we become more energetic. And the types of, she talked about types of food that sometimes, you know, people wake up in the morning, they're not hungry. Well, now there's theory that maybe we don't even need breakfast as soon as we get it. And first thing we get up in the morning, that we need to do other things first. And they talked about how that the eating carbs are basically slows down calorie burn. So if you go out and you exercise, an example, and you come back and you have your breakfast, and that breakfast has a lot of carbs in it, that basically that you're defeating the purpose of the exercise because it slows down the calorie burn. And usually when we exercise, one of the first things we think about is, you know, is burning calories, and we do that to increasing our metabolism. So here again, she basically said to find out what works for you and do it. And I love this particular call because we get a lot of information from different people and different sources, and I think that's very important, and I certainly have benefited from a lot of the information that I've gotten on this particular call. If during this call and in time you'd like to speak up or have any information, or you're new on the call or the landline, feel free to speak up and present your question or even add to the conversation. So does anybody have any golden nugget that stuck out for them last week that maybe they'd like to talk about real quick? Okie dokie. Well, I'm kind of a researcher. I like to look at studies and do all that kind of thing. And I ran across something yesterday, matter of fact, that I've never heard this before. And we have talked about swishing with coconut oil. We've talked about dental health and how important are basically pretty well much a lot of the diseases that we that get into our body start in the mouth because of, again, the bacteria that there is, whatever. But I came across an article, and I hope I don't offend anybody on this call, because I know some of you have some pets, but I thought it was kind of interesting in this particular study that was done in Japan. And if you know anything about Japan, and I know Doug's on this call, that pets over there, particularly dogs, are very, influential within the family themselves. They kind of, and I know we do here in America, we kind of treat our pets as family members and do whatever. This is something that the title of it is, Should You Let Your Dog Kiss You? It goes on to say that lovers of canine companions, one may be getting more than just unconditional affection from their dog kisses. A new study published in the Journal of Archives of Oral Biology found that dog owners had a higher rate of certain diseases causing bacteria in their mouths, so that those that are turned off by the sticky mess may have more evidence to back up that stance. And it goes to say that in Japanese researchers, this research was done in 2011, and they examined the dental plaque of 66 dogs and 81 people who came to an animal clinic or actually were involved in the training of their pets. And here's what they found. They found a periodontal pathetic bacteria, periodontal bacteria,
the microscopic little guys that can make someone or some pets more susceptible to disease in the mouth and around the teeth in more than 70% of the dogs. In the people, the researchers found that about 16% and 30% of them also had those germs. But humans weren't the only victims. And basically, it goes on to say the researchers found that the exchange of germs went just as easily from owner to dog as dog to owner. And I'll just insert this, because we have different bacteria. We have different bacteria in our mouth than our pets do, but sometimes that those bacteria can get transferred from one to the other. And these results suggested, it goes on to say, that several periodontopathetic species could be transmitted between humans and their companion dogs, though the distribution of bacteria specified in both is generally different, the researchers wrote in the study. So one of the things it says is remember that next time a scruffy shows some love, just remember that possibly, I know this, we talk about how easily germs or toxins can be transmitted, you know, from a person to, you know, bacteria in our sinks and in our cupboards and things like that, how things can be easily transferred. That's something to be considered. So I just want to thought that it was kind of interesting to me, so I just thought I'd bring it up, if you don't mind. The other thing I'd like to talk about today, does anybody have any comments in that particular bit of information? Because it all has to do with health, and I know that, you know, I do believe that diseases and certain things do start within our body. What they found that in that bacteria that a lot of it was around, basically caused plaque, and also that it was getting down in the gums of the teeth, those different bacteria from one another. So one of the other things I'd like to talk to you about today, and I know winter's coming on, and you know, I feel that we all talk about how health is so important, but I also think that caring for our bodies in other ways other than what we would consider to be health is very important. And I know that winter's coming on, so the basically thing I'm going to talk about now is basically how to prepare for winter. What are we doing in our homes? What are we doing for our cars? You know, how are we doing for heat? Things like that. So basically to prepare the home for winter, you know, although periods of extreme cold cannot always be predicted far in advance, weather forecasts can sometimes provide you with several days' notice. And I find that to be very, very true. They used to do weather forecasts for 2 days or whatever. Now it's up to, they can almost give you sometimes on the nightly news or whatever, a weather forecast all the way up to 10 days. And, of course, if you have a fireplace or a wood stove, you need to be prepared to make sure that things get done. Flues get flushed out by chimney cleaners because certain things can build up and can create fires. And the other thing they found out that we've got to remember that our ability to feel a change in temperature decreases with age. And I thought that was pretty interesting, that older people such as myself are more susceptible to health problems caused by cold. If you are over 65 years of age, place an easy-to-read thermometer inside the house. But not only inside the house, but, you know, as you look out your house, you should also have a thermometer that you can actually see to see how cold it is outside. So those are things that are very important. So we need to have those particular items in our home. Of course, we can always talk about insulation and that sort of stuff, but most of us don't really do that. We need to talk about snow removal and things like that. Particularly, I want to make sure that my sidewalks out in front of or the back of the house, where I actually enter and exit most of the time, you know, is kind of pretty much clean most of the time, and particularly when it comes to ice. And I always go out and buy before winter comes a few bags of ice removal that I can put. Rock salt works real good, but it's not too good for the soil or particularly flowers that are around your walkway or whatever. But there are products that you can buy that are ecology fit that you can utilize to make sure that you don't slip or fall getting outside to your car or whatever. Talk about our cars. You know, how many times have people drive cars but yet don't think about the certain maintenance that needs to be done on it? Well, you know, one of the things I feel is very important, I know that's called antifreeze, but, you know, I can look back in my life and think, well, how many times did I actually have my radiator flushed and new antifreeze put in it. And sometimes people put antifreeze in their car and they never add antifreeze anymore, even though they go and have it checked sometimes. Of course, there are ways to get that checked. During winter, keep your gas tank full as possible most of the time. And here we get into winter in regards to electricity and that sort of stuff, that when electricity usually fails in an area, that means their gas pumps don't work at our gas stations. Even though we could go out in our car and we don't have electricity in our home, we can get out in our car and drive places. And sometimes that's important to be able to drive to certain places so that you can get to either heat or to a family or food or facilities or whatever. So you want to make sure that, you know, if the car is very, very important. So keep it as full as you possibly can during the winter. Matter of fact, I try to never let my car, even any time of the year, get down below half a tank, only because I know that if we ever did have electrical failure or a grid go out somewhere, that there ain't going to be gas in most cases. So I thought that was very important. How many of us check our emergency flashers? You know, how many go out to the car during the when we drive our car and turn the emergency flashers on and then get out and walk around and see that the flasher is working on all areas of the car, because I think that's very important, particularly during winter, or actually any time, you know, that you have a situation that you need to pull over. I think that's, these are kind of things we don't really think about. You know, what about your battery? You know, I went out the other day and I have this old 1990 Dodge van. It's got, that I use as kind of a go to the grocery store car or whatever. When Mom was alive, she always wanted the car left out of the garage because she looked at it as a form of security that when I was gone, that to make people think that, to know that somebody was there in the house. But I went out the other day and put the ignition in the car and turned it, and just dead, absolutely dead. Well, you know, batteries aren't made to last forever in our cars. You know, they're good for, depending upon the power that you get, the rating of the battery, it's only good from sometimes 3 to 5 years. Well, when was the last time you had your battery changed, and has it been checked, and that sort of stuff? So I just thought that was some very important stuff about cars. If anybody has any suggestions, speak up. The other thing we find is that we need to stock up on emergency supplies. You know, anywhere from food to heating, and how much, what about medicines? You know, do people, how close are your medicines, particularly during the winter, when sometimes we can't get out and get around? And I guess the reason this is on my mind so much is last year, I was here and we had no electricity for 1 week. Well, we live on a well, and guess what? There was no water. So water storage is very important. So, but communication is very important too. You know, do you have a battery powered radio that you can go to listen to your local radio station? One of the things that I do have is I have what's called a NOAA weather radio receiver. You know, they're that expensive, but I can turn it on. It's battery powered. Matter of fact, it's even got a place that I can even put it in the window and charge the battery in regards to the solar power. But, you know, I can turn it on any time and find out what the information of the weather is all across the state of Washington. So I feel that's very important. You know, do we listen to emergency broadcasts? Do we need to know when storm warnings are coming? Or do we hear that storms or winter's coming, or a storm is coming, and what do we do about it? You know, I looked at last year when, back in the East Coast, when they had that real problem that they had in regards to snow, that they were showing pictures on TV that how that back there the grocery stores were basically all sold out of food within 3 days. Well, that was nice if a person didn't go out and stock up, knowing that information that there was a storm coming, and didn't go out and get certain foods when they got to the problem. When they went to the store to get their food, after the storm had already started, there was nothing on the shelf. So that's very important to have food, and I try to have food. And I know some of us on this call actually do have years of stocked up food, and I think that's very, very important. But what kind of food? You know, my aunt, when we had that problem, she had a refrigerator in the freezing department full of TVs, dinners, and all that kind of stuff that we put up in the freezer. But realizing when the power went out for a week, guess what? Those things in the freezer department were not edible. After about 3 days, that you shouldn't. Maybe it's even lesser than that, but now food basically up there. So a lot of people think, well, I've got a lot of food, but when you find out what it is, most of it is all frozen type stuff that they think. the drinking water. You know, I live out here on a well. Well, when electricity goes off, guess what happens to the pump? The pump don't work. So if I don't have sources of water in the house that I can utilize, and I have about, I keep always about 20 gallons of water here in the house at all times for that reason. And the other thing is when the power goes out, if you don't have water, I don't have no way of flush. If I flush my toilet, one flush is about all it's good for because the water don't come back into the toilet by itself because the pump is pumping water outside. So I have extra water around that I can utilize to fill the back of the bath, my toilet, and have it do normal flushing. So I think that's something that's very important. You know, how much canned food does a person have? What about a non-electrical can opener? You know, does everybody nowadays have can openers that you put it on and this battery runs a thing and whoop, there it's all done? And, you know, do you have one that you can actually put on the can? Those are little things that I don't think a lot of people think about. You know, prescription. I talked about that earlier. You know, how some prescriptions are so important to have. I know I'm a diabetic, and unfortunately at this particular time I still have to utilize insulin, which that is coming down, and I look to not too far down the road that I won't have to do that anymore. But, you know, to make sure that you got that backed up and any kind of medication or whatever. Flashlights, you know. What about extra batteries? How many extra batteries do you have in your house? I think those are very important. I know one of the things I realized this last, that I was so glad that I had been a little prepared for a winter situation was I had went out and I bought some diode lanterns. I bought those kind of things, and I can't think of the name right off the top of my head, but you see them when on research, search and rescue teams, they have these lights that they put around their head, well, and you can turn the light on. Well, how many people don't have something like that that don't cost, I think mine cost about $6 or $9, and instead of having to always run around with a flashlight in my hand or whatever, I couldn't do certain things with a flashlight in my hand, so when I got last year when I had those, I put that thing around my head and turned it on. I had both hands that I could work with. Sometimes people don't think about those kind of things. Candles. A lot of people have candles, but candles can be not very safe to have in your house, particularly if someone gets knocked over because of pets or children or do whatever. So those are just a few things that I wanted to talk to you about today. The other thing is cooking and lighting. You know, how would you cook food if you had to if power went out? Remember about charcoal grills and things like that. How many people do we hear of when there's a bad problem in a winter situation that get carbon monoxide poisoning because they do some cooking in their home using charcoal grills or whatever? You know, it was one of the first things I did last year was I went out and bought a carbon monoxide because the one fortunate thing is I did have a little propane heater that I kept here in the house, and, you know, I bought it because it said that it didn't produce carbon monoxide, so I went out and I bought a carbon monoxide and kept it right here in the room where I usually confine myself to in emergency situations. And I put the carbon monoxide in there, and I thought detecting is very important. But remember to change your batteries in your little things we hear. You know, how many times should you change your batteries if you have battery-operated
detectors?
Smoke detectors, thank you. You know, should be at least twice a year. Now, unfortunately, here at the house, we had electric smoke detectors. So when power goes out, smoke detectors don't work. So I went out and bought a couple that were battery powered and just put in different areas of the home. What about the fire extinguishers? You know, one thing I learned a long time ago that in a fire, one of the first things we got to do is get out of the house. Well, you know, do you have one by your bed? Because usually people are sleeping. Usually fires are at night for some crazy reason. I don't know why, but not all the time. But, you know, if you had a fire situation in your house, could you get to the door? Could you get to a window? Could you get to your spouse or children or whatever? Would you have something in your house to fight that fire? And how many people, you know, I keep a fire extinguisher under my bed. I keep a fire extinguisher in the front room. I got about four fire extinguishers here in the house because I know that fire just doesn't take its time. When it goes off, it goes and it combusts and crazy. But, you know, those are just certain things that I wanted to talk about today because I know it has to do with health. It keeps us alive and to make sure that we're prepared. And I just love the information that I get on this call in regards to different types of foods and Hopefully Joan's going to talk to us next week about enzymes, because I think that's a very important thing that we've learned, and how it is so important to our gastrointestinal areas, and it's just about life. And Donna, Tuesdays we have our great days, Mondays we get back to basics, and Wednesday Ruth comes up with some great subjects and everything else about health and why certain things are so important. And if you're on this call for the first time, we really appreciate you being here. And the call today was a little different, but it still, I think, has to do with health, because it's so important to us, particularly in emergency type situations. And winter is coming, but here again, are we prepared for in any particular situation that would happen? Here I noticed the other day they had a big earthquake back in Maine, where they don't have earthquakes. Well, man, people were just, kind of like a big deal there. They didn't know what to expect, or some of them didn't even know what was happening at the time. So we never know. We have different people who live in different parts of the country, so whatever your situation might be, or what could be your major thing in far of some sort of a disaster or an emergency situation during the winter, just be prepared, because I love talking to you all on this call and hearing you. I'd hate to ever think about if something would happen to any of you in an emergency situation. Does anybody have any comments, or do you have other suggestions that maybe you feel are important too, based upon being prepared?
Monty, I can't resist making a suggestion as an alternative to wasting your water in your toilet when the electricity goes out. I used to work in sewage, water and sewage, whatever, for the state of Maryland, and design septic tanks and blah, 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 blah. Everyone should know that urine is unless you're sick, okay, is 100% sterile. The second, from the minute you void it, it's a great place for germs to collect, because it's like a petri dish. But, okay, so that's a fact. Okay, I suggest that you make a small pit that you use for composting. Put it in a depression. Okay. That, 2 feet deep. Be nice if it were uphill from your garden. And that you compost in it. And when the water goes out, you compost in it. I have seen designs and gone through a home that had a composting toilet. It was totally off the grid. A composting toilet. They used the inside toilet, okay, but it went out. Instead of going to the sewer system, it went out to a composting built thing, okay, that had 20 feet to the garden. And the rainwater would, soak into it, and it was just packed with wonderful red wiggly worms, which I have in my worm farm right now. They're just awesome. At any rate, totally sterile outflow, totally sterile. No, there's no germs go into your garden. Americans don't like that so much, but in Pennsylvania, you move your outhouse. I don't suggest you build an outhouse, Monty, but it wouldn't hurt for the rare times it happens for you to be able to save your water.
Yeah, I know. I know another gentleman that not in emergency situations, he basically only flushes his toilet twice a day. And that's it. That's his way of basically
conserving. Yeah. Yeah.
Saving water.
And of course, in China, those of us that eat food from China, I spent some time there lecturing and teaching stuff. They make use of. There's no sewage problem there, okay? There's a process by which they mix, like their own sewage system, okay? Every home has its own sewage system, and it's used in the garden after it goes through, a little processing.
Yeah, I know out here on the farm, of course we have a septic system, and I can tell you basically pretty much where. In those days, 20-some years ago, when they made septic systems, they had three arms to the septic system. Once the septic system got full, and it's the way septic systems work. They have to have a drain field that they go to. And it's always amazing how particularly I can always tell exactly where those drain fields are, or those arms, and there's three of them, because for some reason the grass just grows like crazy.
Yeah, I designed those for residences, and I also did sewer, larger systems, and I did dry wells also, But, yes, and that could be your garden. Okay, that could be your garden. Okay, instead of growing grass, you could grow tomatoes.
I just have that other thought in my mind that goes, ooh.
But I'm telling you something that's absolutely, your doc will tell you, urine, unless you are ill with, like, you know, something that will go through the kidneys, a bacteria that goes through, your urine is absolutely sterile and packed with nitrogen, so much so that you can't actually put it on your grass without diluting it with water three times.
Well, I know one thing. When I had my sugars are real high, you know, I hope I'm not getting into the weeds here, but, you know, I even get an odor from my urine just because my sugar is high. I mean, it's kind of strange. But
you can, and you can also get some enzymes go through. So some people can tell when they eat asparagus.
I want to make a comment based on this, using the water and everything from your house that you have to be aware of, especially if you're building a house, and that is that the county won't let you do that, because I tried to reroute our house water, laundry water, and I wasn't even trying to do the toilet pipe water, but we use organic paper cage from Shapley, and that makes your garden grow better, and I didn't care to fill up my septic with house water, and so I wanted to have it run off someplace where I could make use of it, and the county wouldn't allow it, and so you have to fix that after you get everything passed off. I'm always thinking of how I'm going to build another house, and I'm going to fix it so I can do different things to the house after it's passed off first.
Yep.
We've got to get some of these regulations out of our hair.
Right. Particularly, you have so much land, there's no way you're going to pollute anybody. You have so much land, water cannot pass even in the well, into the well, okay? You know, 100 feet, I mean, you can't get water you can't get germs to go 100 feet through dirt.
We probably don't want to get into this, but we have some water specialists in our organization, and they agree with what we were hearing in the news, that remember when people were getting pharmaceuticals in their water, because it gets into the underground water stream. It just goes wherever.
Right, chemicals, minerals, pharmaceuticals, they can go through. Germs get utilized.
Okay. Yes. I think our time's about up. That was very interesting. I thought it was very helpful, Monty. Especially, you know, we've been talking about longevity a little bit, and how we can stay healthy. And one of the top reasons that people become unhealthy, or even dead, is because of accidents. And so that really clicked with me when how necessary it is to prepare for the wintertime and not go out and fall and conk yourself on
a
sidewalk or something.
Well, I found that to be very true. Is, you know, of course, as I get older and everything else, you know, sometimes the balance isn't where I need it to be, and when I'm trying to walk on ice, it's difficult sometimes.
Right.
You know, if one person just got a nugget out of what we talked about today, I think that's real important.
The extinguisher by my bed is going to happen when I hang up. And the other thing, I also have a 100-foot hose that I always keep attached, and I will not, I'll use my extinguisher to get outside, okay? I will myself I will begin to put water on the fire. I'm not going to wait for the people to come. I've seen too many houses burn to the ground because it's 7 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever. When it was a small fire in one corner of a room or whatever, and I'm gonna apply my own water.
Great. I have a tip for you related to that. Because we have a sanctuary house when we lived in Yakima, or in Yakima, Tampico. And another tip for under the bed is a very long garden hose. Because, like, we had a chimney fire, and so I had a run clear outside, find a hose, take it upstairs, run, drop the other end down so it could get connected down there, and then we were able to utilize that hose. But I didn't have it upstairs to begin with.
Yeah, second story. Smart if you have two stories. Yes.
Well, if we can have sinks that have water that come out of it, how come when we build a home we couldn't put a faucet, like an outside faucet, in our different areas of the house? I mean, if you want to think of our different stories of the house,
bingo.
You never have to go outside. You can just have your hose, run your hose to some place in the house that looks like an outdoor faucet that has a little screwy handle on it. Hook your hose right in there. If the person's building a home, is what I'm saying. I guess you could modify it, too.
Let's write that down.
No, I already did it. I already did it. Except it's on the deck. It's on the deck.
Wow.
It's right on the deck.
Yep.
Excellent.
Anybody else have anything you'd like to say? If not, we're going to wrap this call, and we're going to get headed for a great weekend. Everybody's going to have a good one. Good things are going to happen. So does anybody have any more suggestions or comments? We're running a little late again, as usual, on Fridays. If not, I'd like to thank all of you for on this call, all you hosts that give information, those of you that are on the WebEx, those of you that are on the landline. We appreciate each and every one of you. Have a great day and have a great weekend. We'll see you or listen to you or talk to you on Monday.
Okay, bye-bye.
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 Bye. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you, Steve.